Hey everyone, and just dropping in here to let you know about a resource that you can find on our shop. We have the Planner Bundle Pack. So if you are interested in anything that we're going to be talking about today, you can check out the shop. And if you look at it now, you'll be able to get the Planner Bundle Pack for only $5.99. So that is $5 off if you purchase all of the other things individually. So I hope you check out the shop. It's at morebeautifullifecollective.com/AMBL shop. Now on to the episode. Welcome to A More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. We know that in the hectic hurry of everyday life, it's easy to lose sight of what really matters. This is a moment to pause and realign your focus on the one who gives us peace and rest. We're focusing on discipleship, productivity, and homemaking as we live with eternity in mind. This is the place where you'll learn to create a life you love and cultivate your heart for God. I'm Casey Fletcher. Thanks so much for joining me. Hey everyone, and welcome to A More Beautiful Life Collective. I'm Casey Fletcher, and I'm your host here at the podcast. This is episode 22 of season one, and what we've been talking about in this season is all about habits. So we've been looking at different habits that create a life we love and cultivate our heart for God. And in this series on the podcast, we've been talking about goals and dreams and how to be more productive. What we're thinking about is getting things done from a biblical perspective. I think as we look at all of these habits that we do, one of our goals with this is that we're creating a life that glorifies God and that we enjoy. I think we're trying to do both of those things at the same time. And so that's really what we've been focusing on in the past few weeks. And so today we are going to get practical. So far we have looked at whether goals are biblical. We've thought about our big vision for the year. We have looked at how to make goals and dreams that glorify God and kind of get you out of that comfort zone. And you can look at all of the previous episodes to see some of these things. But today we are talking about how you actually go and do those things today. I think a lot of times whenever we're talking about getting things done, we talk about these big visions, goal setting, things like that. But then we don't talk about the nitty-gritty of sitting down with a pen and paper, planning out how you're going to do those things, and then actually getting it done. And so that is the purpose of today's podcast. Again, like I've mentioned before, if you check out the shop, you can find all sorts of resources, printables, Bible studies. And one of the things that I'm going to be doing over the next few months is uploading new resources to that shop. But you can check it out at amorebeautifullifecollective.com/AMBL shop. And on the website, you can find all sorts of planner related printables, PDFs, and it will really go into depth in more detail. It kind of will show you how to set up all of the things that we're talking about today. So I really encourage you to check that out. So now that we've talked about all of those things, I encourage you to subscribe to the blog, check it out. There's lots of other blogs and articles and things like that that I'm posting that I don't necessarily do a podcast on because I only do one podcast a week. And I normally upload to the blog at least twice a week, sometimes three times a week. So you can check that out if you want to read anything else. But now we are going to get into the episode. And so, like I said, for the most part, whenever we've been talking about habits, we've looked at three different things of how you get things done. The first thing that we talked about is planning with purpose. So the first thing that you have to do whenever you set goals is you have to plan for those goals. Like I've mentioned before, if you don't plan, then you plan to fail. And so I think it's important to set your vision, set your goals, figure out what you want to accomplish in your year. And then the next thing that you want to do is you want to establish habits. Habits help you to get more done than what you've previously done before. And part of that is because if you are working on adding in habits to our lives, you are automating some of the things that you may have to normally use willpower to do. And we'll talk about this a little bit more in just a second. But what we've talked about in the podcast, and again, you can look back at the episodes, they're linked in the show notes on the blog. But so far, we have looked at how you create those habits. We talked about how you set your aspirations, set your goals, and then you brainstorm different habits that will help you to reach those goals. And we talked about how you troubleshoot those things. So we've gone into all of that. But now we need to talk about how you accomplish those projects. So in the last episode, we talked about these dreams and goals that are kind of outside our comfort zone, things that become bigger than ourselves. And one of the things that we talked about with this is that most of these dreams and goals can't actually be met just using habits. We're gonna have to do a little bit more work to get those things done. We're gonna have to use a little bit more willpower. And so today we are gonna talk about how you can get those things done, those one-time actions, the things that will ultimately get your projects done. How can you get those things done? And honestly, if you look at your to-do list, the things that you feel like you have to get done, most of the time your to-do list is built up of these things, these one-time actions that you need to check off. And these are the things that can make us feel really kind of stressed out, right? I wrote on the blog this past week, and you can look at the blog post on creating a project notebook. But I think sometimes we jump around so much from thing to thing that we kind of create, in the blog I talk about, we create this kind of web that we're weaving, that as you go from one thing to the next thing that's unfinished, you create this whole web. And eventually, just like normal spider's webs, we get tangled up in this web that we weave, this web of unfinished, incomplete tasks. And then we feel increasingly stressed out. Now, the normal thing that we do is we have this loop that we go through, where we feel stressed out, but we want to feel better. And so our goal to feel better is just to kind of escape from all of these things that we have to do. And so we self-medicate, and self-medication can be actual medication and drugs like that, or it could be alcohol, it could be TV, it could be technology, it could be social media. All of these things can kind of distract us. And so I think as we go through the loop, we know, if you hear me talking about this, you might think, well, if somebody's stressed out because they have a lot of stuff to do, the first thing that they could do is actually get some stuff done. And that would relieve some of the stress. And that's true. But I think sometimes we get so overwhelmed by all of the things that we have to do that we never start to move forward, and we keep procrastinating. And I think that's what a lot of us feel like today, where you have this list that's a mile long, you have people coming and saying, hey, when are you going to do this thing for me? And then you just feel so stressed that you try to do anything that you can to not get things done, but then also just to not feel bad. And so you end up spiraling out of control even more. Part of what we're talking about today, what I talked about in the blog post, is we want to change kind of the web that we have of all these incomplete tasks into straight linear paths, where we know the next step we need to take for every project, every action that we need to do. And so we want to turn them into these paths that we can walk on, that are straight, that are narrow, and that go to a planned out goal that we know about. And so that's our goal. And so we have to figure out, okay, how do we get there? And so that's what we're going to be talking about today in the podcast. Now, before we move on, I do think it's important to talk about these different tasks that we have. So we have two different types of tasks. We have habits and we have projects. Habits, again, are these things that are repeated. With habits, they are things that normally we have this kind of aspiration of who we want to be. That's kind of out there. It is a character trait. It's a lifelong goal. So what I mean by that is we could say, I want to be a healthy person, or a skinny person, or I want to have a close relationship with God. I want to be, you know, a family man. I want to be somebody that people look at and that they say, oh, that person, he's a Christian, or oh, that person, he's honest. These are things that are aspirations. And again, they're things that you can't really have, you know, a goal that is, you know, one of those SMART goals for these aspirations. So what we talked about with our habits is what's a good idea to get closer to that is to create a SMART goal. Like, I am going to eat dinner with my family 4 out of 7 nights a week. And that is a goal that's attainable. You can see when you're doing it. And then obviously the habit for that would be you get home at 5 o'clock whenever dinner is being made so that you can sit down with your family and not feel so stressed out for work. And so habits are things that are ultimately you want to get to the point where they're automated, and they're things that hopefully you will get to the point where they don't require that much willpower. So with habits, they fill up most of our days. I think there's a statistic that it's like 90% of our days are filled up with habits, maybe a little bit less than that. But our goal is to get good habits that ultimately move us closer to God, closer to those people that we want to be. So we have a huge part of our life that's determined by habits. But if you look at the to-do list that we have, those things are not normally habits. Like normally your to-do list isn't, I want to eat dinner. I want to, you know, take a shower. I want to exercise. We don't normally fill up our to-do list with those things. And it's because our to-do lists are getting us closer to those one-time projects. Our projects are a little bit different than habits. Our projects are things that require quite a bit of willpower, quite a bit of planning. They're things that we're moving towards. But the thing about projects and what can be so satisfying about them is because they generally are things that we feel accomplished if we finish them. With a habit, yeah, you'll feel accomplished if you finish like a whole Bible reading plan, right? So you say, I'm going to read the Bible in a year. At the end of the year, if you do that, normally you feel accomplished. You may feel accomplished if you say, okay, I'm going to read a Bible every day for a month and you do that. Okay, that will make you feel good. But the thing about projects is you see that end goal and it's not something that you have to pick up tomorrow and do the same thing over again. So projects can really make us feel accomplished. They can make us feel like we're making progress in our life, like we're moving forward. And so with these projects, we need to figure out how to get these things done, how to move forward with our projects. I think it's important before we move on just to make sure that we understand that habits and projects, obviously, the difference between them is pretty permeable. It's pretty gray. You could say something one time is a habit, and then another time you could say it's a project. And again, it's because these are just kind of, there are things that help us understand these different categories and what makes up these categories. But obviously, you know, it depends. So you could say one of your projects is you want to finish that Bible reading plan. But then the next year you have this habit of just reading your Bible every day. I think our habits, and I mentioned this in the last episode, our habits help our lives to feel more in control. So if you are doing the dishes every day, if you are doing a load of laundry every day, if you're planning every day, if you are making sure that you eat a good meal every day, eating healthy, all of those things will help your life to feel more in control. It's kind of an adulting thing where you feel like you are just being wise and you're stewarding your life well. That's what habits do. But our projects are things that are going to move our lives forward. So it's important that we understand a system for our projects. So to sum it up, we want to have a system in place to do the projects to get closer to the goals and dreams that God has called us to. And so that is what we are talking about today. That system that gets us closer to the goals and dreams that God has called us to. So what I'm going to talk about today is this four-part plan for how to get this done. Now, part of what I'm talking about, this has been written about in a book called Getting Things Done by David Allen. And you could definitely check that out if you want to read more about some of these lists and some of the different ways that you could do that. It goes in depth much more than this podcast does. But again, what we're trying to do with all of this is we are trying to make sure that our goals, our plans, our to-do lists, they have sticking power. So just like we talked about with our theme of the year, after you write your theme of the year, you can't just leave it there. You have to memorize it. You have to talk about it. You have to read books about it. You have to make sure that you are incorporating your theme of the year into your life. Or at the end of the year, or even by the end of March, you might be like, theme of the year, I don't even remember what that was. And so that's why it's so important with our goals and with our to-do list that we have a system in place to make sure that we're getting things done. Otherwise, we're going to spend, you know, hours or maybe 15 minutes writing our to-do list. And then later on that day, you've forgotten what you've even written down. You never go back and look at it. And it ultimately just becomes a piece of clutter that you throw in the trash. And so you need to have the system in place. And so we're going to talk about a four-part system that will help you to get things done. So the first thing that you need to do is you need to gather up all of the things that are on your to-do list. So in David Allen's book, In Getting Things Done, he calls these things open loops. And the reason why is because they're things that kind of keep looping in your brain. So for instance, if I was talking about this for my house, there is some pots that have some plants that are no longer living. And so I need to get rid of those pots. So every time I pass those plants, I think, I need to deal with those. Every time I pass them, that is an open loop. It's triggering this thought of, I need to do this thing. But the thing is, I have not written that down. And so because I haven't written that down, it is something that is just floating around in my brain. And part of this is that you're worried that you're going to forget about this thing. And so every time you see it, your brain says, don't forget that thing. And so because of that, it becomes an open loop. It keeps repeating in your brain over and over because you're seeing something that's unfinished. It's a trigger in your brain because you don't want to forget it. And so then it just loops back in your brain. This could be, you know, if you think about a spot on your wall, we have a place that we need to paint on our wall. And I keep thinking, I need to paint this. Every time I see it, I say, I need to paint this, or I need to get a picture and slap it on it. But I'm not doing that. So every time I see that, every time I go in my kitchen and my dining room, I am seeing this thing and it's triggering that open loop. And so open loops are things that can make our webs more tangled. They're things that can make us feel more stressed out. And so our goal is that we want to close these open loops. So the first step in creating a system to get things done, a system to tackle your to-do list, the first step that you need to do is you need to gather up all these things and write them down. One of the things that he repeats in his book is that you want to make sure that you are using your brain for thinking and not for trying to remember all of these different tasks. And so if you write them down, you free up your brain. Your brain says, okay, you've taken care of that thing. And you've given yourself more control over your to-do list because of the next step that we're going to talk about in just a second. So again, your things that you write down could be anything from painting a place in your kitchen to buying something to selling your car to selling your house to changing jobs. I mean, it can go up from different, you know, levels. It could be something super small, like I need to call the dentist, and it could be something really big, like I need to, I don't know, get a tooth removed or something like that. And so you need to make sure that whenever you're writing this down, your goal is to not try to sift through the priority of this thing. You are literally just writing it down. So this process is called the initial brain dump. So you just go through and you talk about everything that you have to do, jobs you have to do for people, house projects that you have around, any responsibility that you have, and also things that you say, I really want to do this thing someday. So it could be that maybe one of your things is you want to get a new camper, or maybe you want to go on a trip overseas. You write that down, even if it's not something that you think, oh, I could do this right now. You still write it down because the goal is to get all of those thoughts of, that would be cool, out on the paper so that you are not thinking about them in your brain. So basically, when you have written all of these things down, then the next step that you have to do is you have to set up an inbox tray. So you got your brain dumped down, everything is already written down that you have to do right now. Then you set up an inbox tray. And so what goes in this tray is any kind of thought that you have, any kind of to-do that you need to get done, you put it in one spot. And part of the reason why you do this is because I know for me, there are several times where I have written down like 20 different to-do lists. So I have something on the notes app on my phone. I have something in a text message that I need to do. I have something that I scribbled out in, you know, my journal. I have something that I write down in my planner. And so I have, you know, 20 different to-do lists, and I'm losing track of where I've written down what I need to get done. Well, if you have an inbox tray, everything goes in there. So obviously you could put things like bills, like your car taxes or something like that, that you get a paper bill for, that could go in there. But you could also put down sticky notes. You could put down, you know, any kind of anything that you have that needs an action attached to it that you need to get done. And so you need to set up that inbox tray. You also need to think about this, you know, like digitally. I am a big proponent actually of making sure that your inbox is at zero or close to zero and only using those notifications if you actually need to respond to somebody, because I know it can spiral out of control. I know for my text message app, you know how you get the little red notification, and I think I'm at like 500 or something right now. And so because of that, those numbers really don't mean anything. So I might miss that I have a text that I haven't responded to because I'm letting those texts kind of creep up. So again, the process of an inbox, you can have a physical one, but you can also have a digital one. And that digital one is basically you want to pare down all of your notifications so you're not constantly being bombarded by them, but also so that you know who you've responded to and who you haven't responded to. So this is step one. You gather up all your open loops, and then you set up an inbox tray for the future that you can throw something in. And you'll go through, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but you'll go through this inbox at a specific time each week, and this is called your weekly review, where you make sure that you get to that inbox zero. So yes, you don't have to go through every day and check your email. I don't think that's healthy either, or to check, you know, social media, or if you have text messages, some days you just can't respond to them if you have a lot going on. But one day a week, you do respond to them. And then that way, even if you're one of those people like me, where I don't like to respond to people right away all the time, you still have a time set where you know that you're going to be reaching out to them so it doesn't fall through the cracks. All right, so after you've done that, the next step is step number two, create your list. So in the book, he talks about this, and I also have a PDF printable of these lists as well. But your four lists are do now, waiting for, next actions, and someday. So whenever you have this big brain dump of different things that you have to do, you need to sort through all of those things. And so the way that you sort through all of those things is you separate them into these four different lists. So I'm going to go through what they are real quick now. So the first thing that you have to do is you have to figure out things that you could do in under 2 minutes or 5 minutes, depending on how much time you have. So if you have taken an afternoon to do all of these things and you have a ton to do, you might be able to say any tasks that are 5 minutes or less, I'll go ahead and do. So it could be things from paying your taxes to calling the dentist to, you know, touching base with somebody about a vacation you're going to do, any of those like quick things that you just have to shoot it off a text or an email or, you know, get quickly on a website and do something, that would be on your do now list. And obviously it's called a do now because you're supposed to do it right away, right that minute while you're going through these things. You could write it down or you could just do it. I like writing things down just because I like to feel the accomplishment of checking off a completed list and being able to crumple up something and throw it away. But you don't have to do that if you feel like that's a waste of time. The next list is a waiting for list. So this is where if you've reached out to somebody, you want to write that thing down. And the reason why is because a lot of times things can fall through the cracks because you think you've reached out to somebody and you really didn't, and so you forgot about it. Or somebody could come back to you and say, hey, I thought you were going to talk to me about this thing. And you've said, well, no, I reached out to you. You were supposed to handle that thing. And so things fall through the cracks that way. So if you have a waiting for list, you can write down who you've talked to and then write down the date and what it's about. And then you check back through that about once a week. And so you know who you've talked to and who you haven't talked to. Now, obviously, like you kind of see this, you know, if you have a text message app or if you have emails, you'll see like the timestamp or whatever. But I think having one list, it can help things not to fall through the cracks because it's in one place. So you know, hey, I reached out to you about setting up this meeting. You didn't do it. Let's get on it now. And you can send follow-up. So if you check back over that list once a week, then every week, or, you know, maybe less or more than that. But every week you could say, hey, how's this thing going? Have you set up this meeting yet? And it can get the ball rolling. So that is the waiting for list. The next list is next action. So it's the next thing that you are going to do. So most of our projects, they're things that we can't do in 5 minutes or less. Or there's things that we need to be in a certain place to do, like errands, or you might need to do something that requires just a little bit more time. And so that's where the next actions come in. So the next actions is where you look at your projects and you see those things that require a little bit more time, that you need to go someplace, and you write down the next possible step for that thing. So for your next actions, it could be, let's say you're going to paint the bathroom. All right, so you're going to paint the bathroom, and the first thing that you have to do whenever you paint the bathroom is you need to pick out the paint color. Then you need to go and buy the paint color and all the paint supplies. And then you need to tape off the bathroom, unless you're one of those people that you don't have to use tape. Sometimes I try to be that person, but sometimes that's a mess. And then after that, you need to move all of the, any kind of towels or furniture that's in there. You need to move that out. So you can start to see how what I've done is I've said, okay, you have this project. And a lot of times on our to-do list, the entire project goes as one task. But really, your project is made up of multiple tasks that need to go in a linear order. So the first thing that you would need to write down on your next actions list is the next action. So the next possible action would be pick out a paint color, or maybe it would be go buy a paint color. And so because of that, you know exactly what you need to do. And let's say the first thing you had to do is you need to decide about the paint color. Well, that could go under your do now. And so then the next step would be go buy it. So then you'll have to say, okay, I'm going to go whenever I go for errands. And so the beauty of the next actions list, and this is how I've set it up on that printable you can find online, is in your next actions, you can sort it out by places that it's going to be. And so that means that you could say that you have certain things that you need to do at your desk, certain things that you need to do on the phone, certain things that you need to do, you know, on the computer, certain things that you need to do while you're out and about, maybe at your job. And so you put, you know, if you're saying buy paint, you put that under errands. And then let's say you have every day or every week you go one day to go buy groceries, or maybe you go out and you have like a coffee date with a friend. You could go and buy that paint color then. And so you know where you need to go. You have your next actions list with you. And so you knock out all of those errands all at once. So you're not going back and forth to town every day. You know, for us, we live about, you know, the closest Home Depot is like 20 minutes away. And so if you were going there every day, that's a wasting, you know, you're wasting an hour every day to go do something. Where if you thought about all your next actions, you would be able to save some of that time. So all of these things go under your next actions. And then the last list is your someday list. Your someday list is just basically those things that you want to do someday, but you can't do them right now. And so that would be things like, again, if you say, well, someday I would like to buy a van, but that's not today, then that would go on your someday list. And the idea of the someday list is, again, you kind of keep track of all of those things that are your hopes and dreams, even if they're things that you can't quite do right now. If it was someday I'd love to be, you know, I used to be a teacher. And so a lot of the English teachers, they would decide that they wanted to move on to be like a reading coach or something to try to move, you know, out of the classroom. And so that could go on a someday list. Now, you probably are not going to do it right that year, maybe you could, but the idea of the someday list is it reminds you of those things that you always wish that you could do. Then as you go through your weeks, you're looking back at that list. And so maybe let's say one of your things you want to do is you want to go abroad. I know that one thing that I wanted to do is I wanted to go to Germany with my husband. And so if I'm writing that on my someday list, then what I can do is I can look and I can say, okay, this year, we're already traveling. We have multiple weeks that we're going to have to do things. And so we are not going to do that this year. But next year, I might look and I might say, well, we have this free week here. We have these miles that we've saved up. Well, why don't we try to do this next year? So the someday would then move on to my next actions, and I would need to start making steps to go and do that thing. And so the someday list, some of those actions will move to projects. Also, some of your projects, let's say you want to paint the bathroom. So you have all these things that you're ready to do to paint the bathroom, but then something comes up and you need to take the money that you would have spent on paint supplies and spend it on that thing. Well, that would mean that paint the bathroom would go to your someday list. You know you want to get it done, but it's just not going to work out right now. And so you would just move it over to the next thing. So this is the beauty of those lists, is it just keeps track of all of these things. And you need to keep track of it in one place, as that's what we're going to talk about next. So once you have all of your lists set up, the next thing that you need to do is make a place for this. I talk about this in kind of organizational terms. I'm talking about decluttering on the blog. If you're interested in that, you can go check it out. But you have to have a home for everything. So unless you want to lose all your stuff frequently, you want to make sure that you keep stuff in the same place so you know where to look for it. And so you want to make it easy. And so for me, I know I want to make it easy to go back and look at these lists. I try keeping them in my planner and it just didn't work, because every week, once I flip that page on the planner, the old week is dead to me. I never look back at it. I don't want to look back at it. I'm done with it. And so I need to have a place where I can look back at these lists. And so I create something called a project notebook. So basically you have your planner, which is like your everyday, what you got to do. I have a planner that has a bunch of cool checklists and stuff in it. I'll have to show you guys sometime, but I love this planner. But it has a whole lot of other stuff in it. And so I can't fit all my to-do lists anyway. So what I do is I keep a separate to-do list in my project notebook. And in that notebook, what I do is I keep track of all my goal pages. That's the first section. And then in my next section, I have the action list. So that's your do now, you're waiting for next actions and your someday list. Then you have your, the next thing that you have is a project area, which this would be for anything. And I'll talk about this in just a minute, but basically any projects, you'd have a sheet that keeps track of that. And then the last thing that you would have is your habits, checklists, routines, any of that kind of stuff. Basically, it's just everything else can go in there. And so all of these things help me keep track of my actions. And also my goal pages. You know, we talked about creating your theme of the year. If you wrote that down, you don't want to lose it. And so it's good to keep track of that paper that you wrote it down on and put it in your goals and visions place. So I think that's why it's great. I just use a 3-ring notebook, and I talk about all of these different things in a post online. So you can check out the blog if you want to know more about it and go more in depth with this. So that is step number 3, is set up that project notebook that keeps track of everything. The project pages that I put in the notebook, I have those online as well. But basically what you do is you have like your vision for the project. So it could be like a job, or it could be just something that you want to do. And then you write down every single next action that you can think of. It also has a place for budget information. And then that way you can just check off as you go. I think one of the tricky things is sometimes you can get the ball rolling and you're thinking about the next thing to do. But then all of a sudden you have forgotten, you know, you've done something. And so you've started that project, but then you don't know the next thing to do after that. And so then that's where the project becomes incomplete and it stays on your floor for the next 6 months. And you keep thinking, I need to do that thing. And you never do. And so that's where the project page, you would go on and look at it and you would say, okay, what did I say I needed to do after I get this next action done? And then you would say, oh, it's this thing right underneath it. And so then that would go onto your next action list. So basically, it's just a list to keep track of all the projects you have going on and make sure you're moving forward in each one of those. Again, you aren't going to move forward on all of your projects all at the same time, but the goal is that you're just moving forward as you have time. And that's the step number 4. Whenever you want to get things done, you actually have to get things done. And so after you've gone through this process, what we've talked about so far, this is a big system. This is a robust system. This is a system that has planning. It has basically all of the thinking and everything done for you. But if you don't use the system, it will not help you at all. And so this is the sticking power of your system to help you get your to-do list done. You actually have to look back at your to-do list and you actually have to do the things on your to-do list. This planning will help you tackle them. It'll help you feel in control of them. It'll help you keep track of all of the different things that you have to do. But then you actually just have to get on your rubber gloves and start doing. And so I think with this, one of the things that has helped me a lot is this idea of, you know, an object in motion stays in motion. I think that's true for everything. If you are reading your Bible every day, you will probably wake up tomorrow and read your Bible. And I think if you are doing a load of laundry every day, you will wake up tomorrow and do another load of laundry. It's those habits. I think, yeah, you can't get in habits of doing specific projects because you may never need to paint your bathroom again, but you can say you're going to get in the habit of doing things, of being active and checking off your list, checking back to your list and seeing what you need to get done. And so I think that is what we have to do. So to set up this, I think that you need to have all of your planning done, but then you need to set up time where you have what I call like this matchmaking of time, task, and ability. So basically, you need to make sure you have enough time to do the task. You need to make sure that you're able to do the task, and then you have to figure out the task that matches up with those things. So the best way to do this, I think, is one, on your next action list. Like I said, you can separate all of your next actions divided up into, you know, where you're at. So if I know that I need to do 4 things on my computer, then I have all of those things in the same place. And I know that every day I'm at my computer around nap time, right? So that's like 2 to 4. So I knock out all of the things I need to do on my computer around 2 to 4. If I know that I try to go and do grocery shopping, so I'm out on the town on Tuesdays, then I'm going to go and I am going to do all of the errands that I've written down for my next action then. You also want to make sure that you're able to do those things. So let's say this past week I needed to clean our coffee maker, and our coffee maker is weird and you have to use a specific kind of solution to clean it. You can't just like clean it with like vinegar or something like that. And so to make sure that I'm able to do the task that I know I need to do, I had to order that specific thing. So I've planned out what I needed to do. And so then one of my do-nows was order this descaling stuff. And so I did, and then it arrived. And that way, whenever I had the time to do this past weekend, I had the time to sit down and clean out the coffee machine. I was able to do that and knock it out because I had planned ahead. And so you need to make sure that you have this matchmaking opportunity with your time, ability, and the tasks that you need to get done. So this is a daily process. And, you know, I've had different systems to do all of these things, but I think the best way to make sure that you are thinking about the tasks that you need to get done, the best way to make sure that your to-do list system, tackling your to-do list, it has sticking power, is 2 things. First thing, a weekly review. And second thing, a daily planner check or daily to-do list check. And so basically with your weekly review, you want to make sure that you, what I have, like I said, as I have on the blog, I have some printables that you can get that have do nows and action lists that you can print out a new one each week. You could also just use a sheet of paper and just write do now on it. But basically your weekly review, what you're going to do is you're going to pick a time that's about 15 minutes long or 30 minutes, depending on how much stuff you got going on in your life. And what you'll do is you'll sit down at your desk and you will get a new do now, then you'll get a new action list, and you'll go back and you'll look at old do nows and action lists, and you'll see what have you done, what have you not done. Anything that you haven't done, obviously, should go on your list for this week, or you should take it off the list because maybe it's something that you don't want to worry about anymore. So if you didn't do an action last week and it's something that you'd like to do, but you're probably not going to do it now, just take it off the list. I was going to cross-stitch my daughter's name onto a stocking because I had that whenever I was a kid. My son has one that we got done for him, but I was going to do that this past Christmas. I did not do that. I did start it. I got through like the first four letters of her name, but I was going to do her middle name and I never got that done. And so right now it's laying unfinished on my floor. I'm looking at it right now. And the thing is, I could say I'm going to do that right now and that could go on my action list, but I probably won't. I will probably wait till October and hopefully get it done by Christmas this year. And so that would go on my Sunday list. I don't need to worry about it right now. It's not Christmas anymore. I'm going to stick it in the closet and I'll worry about it next year. And so I'm giving myself permission not to worry about this thing. And because of that, then it frees up my mind to do other stuff. So whenever you're going through your list, you just, you think about what you can do, what you can't do, what's your priority now, and you just write all that down. It's just a weekly appointment to prioritize your to-do list. And so then once you do that, you empty your, so once you write down any old to-dos on your new action list, the next thing that you do is you empty your physical and your digital inbox. So again, go through, you could respond to text messages, you could look at your emails, try to get to that inbox zero. You could empty out your physical inbox, pay for any bills that came through. And so you try to empty all that out. And then anything that's kind of that you received that you need to do that you can't do right at that minute, you write down on your next action list. The next thing that you do in your weekly review is you complete any do nows because you want to make sure that you're doing those things and that they don't just become another thing you procrastinate on. And then lastly, you update your planner and your calendar and with all of those next actions. So if you know that you have a dentist appointment and so you need to, you know, get your card or whatever for that and get ready to go for that, then you go ahead and write that down on your planner or, you know, anything that you need to do. So this is the weekly review. So I think whenever you are trying to get sticking power to your to-do list, you have to set up a weekly review. And again, you can go through those six steps that I just did. And then every day you need to check your planner. Otherwise, again, all this stuff, all this work that you've put into it, it won't actually have any follow through. So what I would say is you try to attach your planner check to your morning routine or your evening routine or both. It's probably better to do both. And so what that could look like is right after you finish your Bible reading or your cup of coffee, you just check off what you got to do today. And then you have that plan. And then maybe whenever you get home, right before you eat dinner or right after dinner, you check off what you need to do and then look at what you need to do the next day. And again, that will help you each week. So really what we've talked about today, again, is this four-step system for taming your to-do list. And part of what you've probably noticed is that there's a lot of upfront work with kind of setting up everything, printing out everything, getting a three-ring binder. But once you have set this up, the actual upkeep of your to-do list is pretty minimal. It's 15 minutes and then maybe 2 minutes every day. And that's the thing with most of what we talked about with planning. You do a lot of the upfront work ahead of time. And then by getting that done, then you have freed up your week where you're not running around being tangled up in this web of unfinished tasks. Instead, you're just moving forward on the things that you need to do. And all of this ultimately will free up your life so that you're able to tackle some of the things that you truly want to do, some of those dreams and goals that you have for God. I think, you know, as we talk about all of these things, we're not just trying to create, you know, I want you to create a life you love. And I think that's important. But I think ultimately we want to be able to free up ourselves from all of these responsibilities and things pressing on us so that we can have a heart that listens to what God wants us to do. And I think if we can tackle some of these things and get our lives under control, we can better move forward and work for God. And so I think it's important that we try to figure out a system that will help us to do that. And I think this system that I talked about today will really help you in that tasks. So, like I said, as you are going through this, I hope that this system for capturing tasks and getting them done helps you out. I think habits can help us to accomplish some things in our lives, but I think we do have quite a long to-do list. All of us do. And so by doing this, you'll have less stress if you can tackle your to-do list, get it done, think about it, and ultimately move forward for God. If you are interested in any of these things, you can check out other posts that I have created up on the blog at amorebeautifullifecollective.com. You can also check out the shop. Again, if you look at amorebeautifullifecollective.com/AMBL shop, you will be able to see planners. There's a planner bundle pack that has all of these things that you can print out. You can start using these things today. And I just hope that this is something that you really enjoy and that you use. If you are interested in any of these things, you can always shoot me an email or you can comment below this podcast. Please rate and review wherever you listen to podcasts. This helps others find the show. And I hope I'll see you next week. Bye. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of A More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. If you haven't yet, please leave a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts to help others find the show. While you're there, you can like and subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Don't forget to check out the blog and our store for more encouragement and resources on how to create a life you love and cultivate your heart for God. I'm Casey Fletcher, and I'll see you next week.